Hello and welcome to TechWrap, the podcast, online at techwrap.net. You can also find us on Twitter, search for TechWrap Podcast. And we're on other websites, including Omni and player.fm. Hello, Will.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. We're back after a few weeks.
Woohoo!
Again.
Yes.
A few weeks, a bit of a thing with work, providing challenges to be able to get content together and to get a podcast together.
We had so many emails and people on Twitter be like, where are you? I can't sleep tonight without the podcast. Sorry, but you'll be able to sleep tonight.
I had items ready to go on my main topics. I didn't have any technology headlines, and I was kind of keen to go at one point, but yeah, we didn't end up going.
We're going now, though.
I was doing quite a bit of work. That's what I can say for my behalf. But yeah. Let me stop making excuses.
I was sleeping most of it. I was asleep.
So you don't do any work on
a
common day.
Tried to wake me up, and I was like, too tired. Too tired.
Anyway, it has been a big, big, big fortnight.
Has it?
It has
more
been
days than the usual.
Yeah, there's been
15 days in this one. That's how big it was.
Well, it feels like 15 days anyway.
No.
I don't know whether it is reality, but
I'm sure it is.
You know what it's like.
We'll double check it, but pretty sure 15 days. What's been going on? What's been happening in the world of tech?
One thing that has been bugging a lot of people who use the social media app Facebook.
No,
and if they're using them on iOS devices.
Especially.
Yeah, is the fact that it has been using a bit of battery.
Bit of a battery hog.
So, as with Android, you can go into the settings menu and you can basically go into a section called battery and have a look at battery percentage.
And give you specs.
And right now...
What apps are using the most battery?
When you look at my 7 days and you see Facebook...
Let's have a look. Oh, 34% of all battery usage is gone to the Facebook app.
At the top.
And the next best is, 15% on Twitter.
Yep.
Would you say you're about on Facebook and Twitter the same amount, though, or...?
I would have both of the applications open the same amount of time.
Facebook is draining double that.
Yep. And what it came down to was, as several people have reported, they had concerns that Facebook was locking on GPS sensors and also...
what are they doing?
And also playing silent audio to the speaker. And
what?
It was a means of apparently keeping the application like in background still functioning and communicating. Mm. But Facebook didn't come public with any idea of what was actually going on until today, basically. And so for the time frame that this has been causing people dramas, the best suggestion has been turn off.
Uninstall.
Turn it off when you're not using it.
Uninstall it.
Or even stop location data.
You don't need it. Get rid of it. Are there any Facebook alternative apps?
There isn't.
Are there like wrappers you can get? Because I don't run the Facebook app for the very reason that you state. The battery is always draining. I feel like it's slow, it's sluggish, it's just crap. So I'm running like a Facebook wrapper.
Okay, yep.
So it just loads up the mobile version of the website within an app. So yeah. It's a bit slow, it's a bit clunky, but like it's efficient. It doesn't stay open longer than I want it.
Mm.
It's there when I need to use it. I don't have all like the features and that,
yeah.
But I only just maybe check a feed here and there. If that, as you know, I'm not a big Facebook user.
Yeah, I do know that. I know that so much.
Sometimes
that,
to my detriment, or I miss out on the events and I don't even know what's going on in the building or with my friends.
I know that people have actually come up to you in the workplace and said, you haven't accepted me on Facebook.
They have like 30 pending friend requests.
And you have to tell them, this guy doesn't use Facebook much.
Yeah, it's a bit of an ordeal. I didn't even know like some events were happening. And they're like, I sent you an invite on Facebook. I was like, no. I miss out on things.
So Facebook did come public essentially today.
They officially said that, hey, we acknowledge that our app is draining batteries and we strive to fix it.
And they're calling them a series of bugs.
Yes, sure.
Including one that ate up the extra CPU cycles, causing Facebook to use more of the iPhone battery than it should. And they blamed the audio issue as an unintentional thing that was only being used to keep the app alive. Now they're saying that these issues have been fixed in the latest update. And to install that on your iOS device if you are keen to keep using Facebook on that mobile application. But it's all a bit suspect, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very suspicious. Like, who knows what sort of data they're collecting and using for nefarious purposes. Watching you, where are you, checking up on things. It's just another way. Facebook, it's got to be do something with Facebook continuing to dominate
the world. I wasn't going to say that they're stealing data. I don't feel they're stealing data, but I feel...
Definitely getting some analytics.
I feel concerned that they're using the CPU cycles on your phone when the actual application shouldn't really be. If it's in standby, it's meant to be in standby.
So I assume they're going to patch this out soon? Or?
Yeah, well, they provided an update recently. I'm pretty sure I installed an update in the last 24 hours myself.
Could be fixing the battery issues.
And yes, I did in the last 24 hours. I did it this morning.
Hopefully that solved the issue.
So that will be the one that
will be the first to tell us if it didn't know.
So if you've got an iPhone or an iPad or whatnot, update your Facebook. And then you should be right.
ASAP, or uninstall it and move on with your life. Mm. But it's so hard to get away with away from Facebook.
It is when you're connected with it.
Yeah, and them now, you know, expanding out and growing exponentially and putting their tentacles out into every, you know, part of the internet. So Facebook is your go-to site for everything.
Yep, news.
Over the coming, shopping. They've released like the news service, and I've seen various articles saying why this is a bad thing for news creators and publishers of their website, because what it does, it integrates the news story into the Facebook app that you never need to leave the Facebook app, and doesn't point you to the original article or the original content creator's website. So they miss out on any advertising revenue that they would have on their page that would be directed to their website if it wasn't using this Facebook app and all these other things. And then I saw this really cool article on TechCrunch the other day, and it's entitled 20 Ways Facebook is Eating the Internet.
Ooh.
And we've talked about this. Every time we see a new Facebook feature come out of them looking at doing something, whether it be like the music service, the dedicated video feed for video producers, expanded tools, the news service, search features, blah, 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 so on and so forth. We're always like, they're slowly taking over. They're slowly taking over, and it's coming true. And we predicted it here first. Probably along with
much like Google, you could say.
Google, well, it's the big, you know, the big top 10 are all trying to, you know, Facebook are trying to come into Twitter. Twitter's trying to take over Instagram. Instagram's trying to take over Twitter. Google's trying to take over Apple Music. Apple Music is trying to take over this. Google Play is trying to take over like Twitch with the gaming app. You know, they're all trying to do what everyone else is doing to get everyone on their services.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but it's kind of good that they're all these separate entities kind of fighting each other. It would be bad if they're all under one roof. Then we'd be screwed.
Well, yeah.
Nothing would be competitive. Everything would be controlled.
You only have to look at the way that internet service providers are here in Australia. The majority of them are owned by a couple of companies. And then you've got the small fries, but the small fries can't advertise the way the big ones do. Mm. So they get missed.
Yeah. I'm going to run through these 20 things, Facebook. Yeah. If at any point you feel like, oh, that's interesting, tell me more. Mm. I'll tell you more. Otherwise, we'll be here
all day. All right, we'll go for this.
So 20 ways Facebook is eating the internet. Dedicated video feed. So it'll be a timeline of just video feeds and stuff.
Mm. I wouldn't have thought there would be demand for that.
It's apparently it's not what you search for video content. It's like you're scrolling through stuff and it shows you stuff that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise seen.
Yeah.
Just for video. Suggested videos. They got a suggested videos feature. We'll now recommend related videos to keep you watching after you watch another one. Picture in picture.
Picture in picture.
Facebook doesn't want you to get bored watching a video and leave.
So
it's
now
trying a picture
option.
In picture feature. So you can shrink that video down and keep browsing other videos or your feed or whatever.
Oh,
blah, blah, blah.
Man.
Instant articles, which I think is the news displaying one.
Mm-hmm.
So all instant articles are pulled from publishers and then displayed within the app, never having to leave Facebook to go to the publisher's website, which has like many other implications with publishers losing revenue. Facebook instant ads they're working on. It's the same idea as instant articles, but to provide you with rich media ad content. Facebook ad link. If you want to share a link, Facebook now lets you keyword search everywhere. Shows you trending topic sections, Facebook buy button. You can buy things from within Facebook, a Facebook shopping feed. You can now just browse shopping, heaps of clothing within Facebook, shopping search engine, so you can search for clothing items or any other items that you might want to buy within Facebook, shopping section on pages. They have the on this day thing, you know, on this day 5 years ago, you were here, blah, blah, blah. So you can get all your nostalgia fixes. Facebook Doodle, you can draw on your friends' photos and stuff and share it back with them.
Not the other thing.
You could actually draw a doodle on
on your friends.
Yeah, and then up post it. Facebook Notes, which is kind of like... they're like, what was it? You could write notes that no one ever went to. You'd have pages, likes, photos, whatever, the notes. So you could maybe do like a little blog.
I used to use that occasionally.
Yeah, so I don't know what you'd put in notes that you wouldn't just put on your page, like note to self or something.
Example is I used to use it to, before I had a website and everything, I used to use it to write news articles.
Yeah, so it's, I guess for longer form writing, I guess, rather than just a quick update. Facebook Live. So they want to do live streaming, like live Periscope, which is what Twitter does.
Well, everybody wants to do that.
What's the other one? Meerkat is another one. And Facebook has launched its own version called Live.
That's like Periscope.
But to avoid boring you with boring people, only celebrities and journalists can use it at this point in time. But I feel like they will expand that because Periscope is available to everyone. So is Meerkat as well.
Right
now. Yeah, we could stream this if we wanted to.
We could Periscope our tech rap.
For sale groups. So instead of Craigslist, you can jump on Facebook.
You know what they'd probably do with that as well? They'd start pushing some of the people who have got buy, swap, and sell groups on Facebook into these systems and make them close their pages and groups.
Yep, absolutely. Video calling. Within Facebook,
well, you can already do that, can't you?
So, yeah, but I mean, don't need to use Skype.
You don't need to go to FaceTime. You don't need to use FaceTime.
Don't need, what's another one?
I don't know. They're the only ones I've used.
Facebook, FaceTime, and Skype.
Oh, but then
Hangouts.
Yeah, Hangout.
So you don't have to leave Facebook to do your video calling.
You just open everything in Facebook or in a Facebook related app.
The Facebook M Assistant. Which is, remember we briefly talked about this, which is kind of like the Google Now, the Siri, but within Facebook.
Yes.
So you can get things done instead of Googling. You can say, set an event, blah, 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 or find me some concert tickets, and it'll look for concert tickets wherever. Messenger payments.
You can now
pay friends from inside Messenger.
I'm worried about that because you only have to look at what's happened with PayPal in the last 10 years.
They say once Facebook has your credit card info, it could sell you other things later. So you could just buy instantly sort of thing. Messenger gift search.
A gift registry
on Facebook. That's a gift browser and search engine in Messenger.
Jeez.
And of course, they're dabbling with buying Oculus Rift, Facebook's branching out into VR. So whether or not they try and incorporate VR content then within Facebook, strap your headset on, never leave Facebook. it goes on and on and on. And, you know, and they're talking about, you know, those deals with music publishers, potentially releasing exclusive music videos to the feeds, things like this.
Mind just blown insane. By this.
And then today they the Facebook search is the latest one now that they've come out with. Before you could search for things, people, places, things, sort of things. But this is special, Facebook search, because what it allows you to do is search real-time news or stories or anything. But it's essentially meant to be for like breaking news stories. You can see what's trending. You can real-time search from Facebook's over 2 trillion public posts or pages. So literally anything that's ever been posted on Facebook available to
the public, you can now search for.
Now, it will help you find things by ranking them in a specific order, trying to figure out what you want that's most relevant to what you're searching for. So it will display results in this order. Say if you search for tsunami in Japan, it will gives you all articles, news, features, videos from trusted news sources first, which I assume have been verified through Facebook and approved. Then it will give you displays from people you know in your friends list or your friends' content. And obviously, then it might do like friends of friends or people you may know.
Yeah.
Rank that next. Then it will give you lists and pictures and things from the most popular links out there that people have searched for, the most common. And then it will give you like just strangers' posts and things like that. Is that not insane?
It is pretty mad. I've just been having a look to see whether I can find any of these functions. I can at least type in a subject and it links.
The Daily Advertiser posted about this. Other various places, Nine News posted about this, and then
So if I click on one of those, that's going to go to their Facebook story that they've posted relating to that subject.
Click this and see if it'll take us to news. Yeah. So currently, it takes us to the news website,
but it will.
But they'll work on implementing that within Facebook itself, so you don't even get taken to that other page. I don't think that's in the apps yet, but that's definitely coming. Just for a nice clean
interface.
So literally everything you'll need, you won't even. Yeah, Facebook open all the time instead of Google.com is your homepage.
You'll just search
Facebook.com is your homepage for all your news because. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Because why would you Google a news story? Because it's going to be only articles posted after the fact. Here you can search for stuff in real time. You can get videos, pictures. You can get breaking news stories that are updated. You can get content from maybe a friend you know that lives there and you can hear their story. So not only is it a good place to search for the content, but it's also good to get that content out there through Facebook.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit scary, isn't it?
It is scary when you sat there and you rolled off a dozen different things that Facebook is doing, and you sit there and while you're sort of listening to what is available, you're sitting there thinking, well, I use Facebook X amount of hours in a day. If I was doing all these things on here, I probably wouldn't have any other application open. I'd just have Facebook, and my life would end up revolving around Facebook more than it currently does.
Yes,
which is a concern. It is a concern. I think the only thing in regards to like the news stuff, I think Twitter is still going to be quicker to the bat. In dropping highlights of things that are actually going on and that are breaking and moving along with
the
trend.
This could prove really efficient, depending how they implement the live update feature or something. I remember like Reddit used to be a really good place, probably still is at the moment, for like breaking news. Someone would create like a world news thread or a news thread and you'd provide live updates. And they did implement like a live Reddit. Feature where it would be real-time updates and things like that. Haven't seen many of those that lately of the live Reddit features.
Yeah.
But yeah, Reddit, you go to Reddit and you'd see news stories posted by people before they were like on major news sites or on TV and stuff. So I don't know now if we'll see that on Facebook. No longer do we have to wait, say, 24 hours for news to run it or papers to pick it up. It'll just be all straight away on Facebook. Interesting to see how it plays out.
Then there'll be engines trying to filter data off Facebook to provide an online search engine link to Facebook-related contents.
Yeah.
Like they currently do with Facebook pages, for instance.
What about call it FacebookSearch.com or something? It's just like a layout like Google. Right?
Yeah.
And it's just like a Google layout page. And then you can just search for anything you want there. So you don't need to go to Google. You just go to Facebook. It pulls search results within that page, I guess. And
this is mad. This is getting ridiculous, isn't it?
I wish I invented Facebook.
I bet anyone wishes they invented some of these pages. I mean,
it sucks. It's so unfair.
The amount of money these places are generating now.
If only I was born earlier.
Yeah, you are a little bit later on.
So I can't remember when he did it, but I think I was still in high school when he was in college doing.
Yeah, he was in college, and that was a whole college connection thing. And now it's just a worldwide.
It is the world
social media ecosystem. let's move on from Facebook.
Goodness gracious.
We've spent a little while talking about Facebook now, but warranted. I mean,
what about Google? Let's talk about Google. I know you got a heap of other stuff, but I feel like Google and Facebook are kind of related.
Yeah, we've got something about Google.
I don't know if you do, but it's about the new, I don't know if you saw this, the YouTube.
Yes, the YouTube subscription model.
You know what it's called?
YouTube Red.
RedTube, no.
It's not called RedTube.
What's
RedTube? That is a porn website.
Why? Okay, this is the thing. Why would you call it YouTube Red when there's a porn site called RedTube?
Yes.
It's the worst name ever. And like, I saw it instantly. I was like, what are you thinking, Google?
They probably didn't think.
But they're not very smart with their names. Like, look at all like Google Maps. It's a map service.
Google Hangouts.
Google Hangouts. Google Drive. It's an online Drive.
Google Plus.
Google Play. Google Music.
Yeah.
Like Google, like now it's YouTube Red because YouTube's red.
They've got no
freaking geniuses.
Yeah, they've got no wow to it, do they?
And the fact that it's like a pretty popular porn site.
Yeah,
YouTube Red. Well, I know it's one top five for you.
When I said I mean I know of
top
it.
Top three. Never been to it.
I don't utilize it.
No, me either, at all. But yeah, so that is coming out now. It's a paid subscription service for YouTube. Like Netflix.
Yes, except not movies.
Well,
they do have movies.
Yet.
They do have movies.
So at the end of this month, I think, you can sign up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And what that will give you is a monthly membership for $10 US, so probably more for us here in Australia.
We'll get the Australia tax.
So it gives you no ads, ad-free YouTube
completely.
Experience, which, I mean, if you use an ad blocker... You get that anyway.
But then you remember back just a month or two
ago.
Yeah,
we were talking about them hard coding ads into the videos themselves.
To prevent ad blockers.
Avoid it, yeah. So I don't know where that... So if they implement that and that really works, then I guess people might get annoyed at that.
And start buying
the
model.
Subscription. But at the moment, you can still ad block and stuff. So that's a good point. Good thing you brought that up. Mm. So you get ad-free YouTube. And you will also have members-only access... to original shows and movies.
So they're doing
from YouTube's biggest content creators.
They're doing the Netflix model.
Yeah, pretty
to
much.
To entice people into
exactly.
that subscription
so,
system.
I don't know whether people will be invested enough into current YouTube content creators to pay a subscription. But because I was looking at a few... Oh, okay, this is another thing. That might not be enough, but you also get... access to Google Play Music as well for the same subscription.
Beautiful.
So you get the music streaming service, you get an ad-free YouTube, you get original content from YouTube. Now, they didn't really make that very clear because I was looking at some stuff about the subscription and people were like, oh, $10, no one's going to pay, that's too much just for like YouTube amateur content sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, just ad-free and they didn't kind of realize that it was bundled with the Play. So I think they need to work on their marketing a little bit.
Yeah.
And their advertising and make it clear exactly what you get. And people are like, oh, this is the death of YouTube and we're no longer going to get good content because everyone's going to want it for these paid services and we're going to miss out on old content that was free and stuff. But I don't think it will be that bad.
Given the fact you mentioned the music thing last,
I wanted it to sort of come up like, that's not really worth it. And then I wanted
and
to
and that is that, exactly the way I was thinking.
Because that's what most people would see it as,
Who would pay $10 or say $11 or $12 here in Australia just to watch videos on YouTube? Someone is going to find a way eventually of being able to look at other videos for free that through another model. If YouTube was to push everything towards this, YouTube Red. But if you're getting a music subscription as well, there would actually be even a certain amount of people who would think, well, why should I pay for Spotify services if I get... ad-free videos on YouTube plus my music.
Yeah.
I'll just change across to that I'm just paying for one product then.
Yeah, they need to make people very aware of that because if people already do have these like other music Spotify sort of subscriptions, they might not even change over because they're like, oh, whatever, I'll just get AdBlock, we'll work around it and I'll use Spotify instead of Play Music. But yeah, but the other thing is the original content and stuff. I've watched other things of YouTubers trying to do TV style productions and stuff like this. But at the end of the day, they're still YouTubers. And there's a certain lacking of credibility and production value when you come from like the YouTube side of thing, and they're not really taking that seriously because they're, and how can you do, it's not like they're going to be dramatic actors all of a sudden. It's going to be very similar content to what they produce, either the same as what they've produced in a different setting or their personality in a well-produced sort of just thrown a heap of production value at it to make it work. So I was looking at some of the original content coming up, and I can't remember much from off the top of my head, but they were very much like, oh yeah, this YouTube personality stars in this new reality style scripted comedy, or I think PewDiePie is doing one where it's been, they got some really big producers on board and they're kind of making this game scenarios from games, but in real life.
Oh yeah,
so like they might recreate like a zombie game and then throw him into it, so you can see his reactions of like a real life sort of game scenario.
Yeah.
But like, you know, whether or not these are worth, you know, paying $10 a month for compared to say Netflix, where you actually get
real
quality, real
quality produced
good content. Like movies, I bet you they're going to throw so much money at this stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just kind of, I don't know, there's certain, it doesn't appeal as much being YouTubers. Like, yeah, they're cool. They're personality into reality stuff. But what they do on YouTube and what you've got for free, it's essentially going to be the same thing, just with higher production value.
Yeah. Is it going to be worth it at the end of the day? Is it going to last, you know, longer than say, for instance, Google Plus?
Yeah.
Which they've kind of phased out now because they've realized,
I think they need to make it
working.
Cheaper because Netflix is like $7.
And why would I pay?
And even with bundled with music streaming, it's not, no one really wants, who's saying, oh, I'm looking for a music streaming service. You're not going to recommend Google Play. You're going to say Spotify.
No,
you,
because or Google Play's got less in the way of music contracts here in Australia than Spotify does So you're probably not going to look at Google Play as a primary option. Unless you're a Google fanboy and you reckon Google is the be-all, end-all, but I found a lot of the services are lacking in the subscriptions to make it enticing. So would I move across? I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see some of what content comes out of it. And if they are going to try and then move away from just producing YouTube-like content and taking on board like a Netflix original thing, but through YouTube Red or Red Tube or whatever. So maybe
Tube,
just like
not Red
other
Tube.
Producers could come up with like, you know, maybe pitch concepts for shows and then they actually say, hey, this is a good show, we're gonna do this, and move away from starring YouTubers and actually just trying to produce quality originals that compare to say something on Netflix. And then I think you're in more of a position to get people to subscribe to your service. Because I think just from YouTuber content alone to come up with new content for YouTube Red, I don't think that's enough.
I think if they do that idea as well, they'll be steering away from the original idea of YouTube and that'll be off-putting to some
people as well. Oh, you still
have
YouTube and all your YouTuber content from whatever free, right, with ads. But now you have YouTube Red where you can get like high production value like YouTube content.
Yeah.
But then you can also get maybe some really cool shows out of it as well. Maybe down the line. Slowly, but like, yeah, I don't know.
It's interesting.
I don't like it. Like, it's a free service, and now they're just throwing subscription models at YouTube, which we've known for like almost 10 years now.
I think they're starting to alienate the system by doing this sort of thing.
It's not like, why?
And what
these top YouTube content creators earn enough money anyway that they could produce this content with production companies just for their normal YouTube channel anyway and make a butt ton of money.
So there's no need for the other.
They could sign deals with Google to get this content to their website for free, and they get all the money from the ads. Like, I don't know. Do they need more money? Like, what? Come on. They already have billions of dollars. Why do they need to get more money off us? Like, surely there's a certain point where you're like, you make like enough money where you make more money that it makes no difference. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, who's getting this more money anyway? All the Google execs.
Google primarily.
Like, all those people, surely they have enough money where if they earn an extra $1 billion, that's literally nothing. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah. It's absurd. It's absurd.
We're the people that lose.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Speaking of absurd.
Okay. We're off Google. We're off Facebook, I hope.
We're on to another big company.
What do we got?
Amazon.
Oh, God.
Amazon.
It's literally like 10 internet companies that run the internet.
Did you hear the lovely story about Amazon? So apparently their system has allowed for the ability to put fake reviews on there. So people go onto websites like Fiverr.com, and Fiverr.com, if you're not familiar with it, you can essentially sign up and say, I wish to provide a service. I will help people install WordPress on their website so that they can start doing blogging, and what I'll get from it is $5.
Ah.
Or I can add additional features to it and charge more. But the base rate is $5. And the base idea is someone providing a service for $5 and other people being able to get them on the internet.
Are there many services just for $5? It feels like there's a lot of things that's going to cost more than $5.
There is a lot of stuff for $5.
Really?
But usually they have additions. So say, for instance, if I want a logo, I can go on there and I can get a logo designed for $5. But the person might only be able to give it to me in a low-quality format, like a JPEG or something.
This is basically unusable anyway.
So then you can...
You're forced to pay more.
So then you can pay for an addition and get the full-quality stuff and Photoshop files and whatnot. So what people have been doing, without going into too much detail about Fiverr.com, is putting up the ability to do reviews on Amazon items.
So they pay, they're like, hey, I'll review your item for $5.
Yes. Yeah. Even though, you know.
Wait, for positive reviews.
For positive reviews.
You could also, if you had like a rival,
you could get negative reviews going on. So rather than Amazon fixing its ecosystem and alleviating the ability to put reviews on without actually purchasing
buying the product.
They've decided they'll start targeting some anonymous users instead.
But that's weird that you can give a review for a product that you may or may not even have.
Exactly.
But I guess maybe if someone bought it maybe from another website or something, they can give feedback to try and help other people.
And online retailers within Amazon. But still,
you'd want to know people actually know what they're talking about when you're reading a review. So I wasn't aware of that.
It's untidy and it's tarnishing the system, and it just makes Amazon look stupid. Why do they have the ability to allow people to put these fake reviews in place when all other shopping cart systems that I know of require you to purchase the item first and have that connection with the seller and have it all locked in before you can actually place a review? Like eBay, for instance.
Yeah. Well, after you buy an item, then you can leave a rating and a review of the buyer and stuff and the product.
You can't just leave a dud review because you feel like leaving a dud review. It ends up contacting eBay and letting them know that this has happened, and they're like the middleman in the situation of, well, why has this happened? Why are you leaving negative feedback? How can we fix it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I see a problem in the way Amazon runs their system if these have been able to get in.
How are they only running into this problem now after all these years as well?
And the other concern is the fact that they're going out and taking legal action on people who are leaving the fake reviews rather than just fixing the problem that they've got at hand at the moment.
Well, I guess if that scares people off, then people won't do that, hopefully. But, I mean, I think there's always going to be fake reviews.
They'll be around. I mean, you see them on reputable review websites.
So the lesson is, don't trust the reviews. If you're buying something, do your own research.
Don't always trust just one set of reviews. You can use reviews online. I often, when I go and buy an item and I'm not sure about it.
You don't look at just one source. You look from five different sources.
I look at five different sources.
Maybe
and I have a look.
YouTube video review, some articles, maybe ask a friend that might have one.
Maybe even a retailer, look on their
website. Now you can just search on Facebook for the product, and then you'll find everyone in the world, 2 trillion posts about everyone that's had the product.
Certainly do a bit of research before you go buying products. Don't just look at reviews on one website.
But also,
and go,
Amazon,
that's it.
Fix your system too, because it's crap.
Yeah.
Don't let us review it if we don't own it.
That's bad. That's very bad.
Gosh. Use eBay.
And back to the conversation of drones that we've had a few times this year as well.
Yes, drones.
In the US, they have been much concerned. People don't seem to understand where they can fly them, how high they can fly them.
Yeah. There's like 10 pages or 50 pages of drone regulation that you kind of need a lawyer next to you to understand. Where you can, no-fly zones, how high you can fly it, what's legal, what you can photograph, what you can... God, no. Yeah, no way. And the way that drones are advertised to the consumer, it's like, just buy a drone, have some fun. There's no There's no warnings or anything. I think if you're selling someone a drone that can fly above regulated
these things can fly quite high.
Well, everything should give you like a one-page like brief manual of what's legal in your area or state. There's an idea. That should be mandatory for drone sellers to come packaged with what you can do with the drone.
Or even do like mobile phone providers do with SIM cards.
So people have been doing some silly stuff or getting in trouble for stuff in the US.
Maybe as well they could do a system like the SIM cards and check off that people are competent to be able to operate the devices before they sell them. That could be another thing. But essentially what they've decided to do or they're working on doing over in the US is various government organisations are joining together to try and get the idea of requiring registration for recreational drones.
God.
So that people will actually have to be on a register and can be accountable if they're in situations where they're flying them in areas that they shouldn't.
You need to sign up wherever you buy the drone from. Requires all
I'm
this
not
information.
Sure at this moment where they're taking the information.
But surely that step would have to come into play before you even get the drone in your hands. Otherwise, there's no way to regulate it.
Mm. Well, you'd be thinking that's the way it goes. But yeah, a registration before you're actually legally able to fly drones
before you can even purchase it. So like if you're purchasing, say like, you know, I've been looking at new mobile phone plans for the past week.
Yes, and you have. And you haven't decided.
I still haven't decided. There's like four different ones, but that's a whole other point. But, you know, but the point is, but before you get the SIM card, you got to fill out, like, you know, you got to give them two identifying things, like your driver's license or like a utility bill. Yeah, to know exactly who you are. So maybe something like that they might look at doing.
That would be a very wise
move. Give them your driver's license and maybe your social security number or something like that, and then they'll ship you out the drone once the seller has that information, then they can pass that on to the government. But it's just another like way to bit of I don't like
privacy.
It. Yeah, privacy and the government having more of my details. Then what if someone steals my drone? What if someone steals black market drones? Then you're looking at this one's off the grid. It's not registered. Doesn't have GPS tracking. And then you know people are selling.
We're not
black
even talking
drone.
About GPS tracking.
Yeah, but you know. I'm sure they'd pull like black boxes in drones.
Yeah.
If they crash somewhere else, they'd pull all the data from it, things like that. But then how do you regulate the drones that you can build yourself? Because you can just buy all the drone parts separately and then you can assemble it yourself. And then even if you put regulation on the drone parts, you can just buy a 3D printer and then print your own drone. So I don't think there's any way to truly regulate something like that.
Hey, government.
That doesn't rely on a government service to operate, say like a mobile phone provider where they can say, hey, look, if you don't sign up, we don't give you the service. You can't regulate parts for drones.
Hey, US government, listen to this man.
Yeah, I'll come help you out. I'll be a consultant. But like something needs to be done, I guess, for incidences and maybe people flying into restricted airspace and stuff like that. But how you go about doing that is weird. Drone police? Like, do you have a permit for that drone, sir? And they come up to you, and if you don't, they nab you. What about police drones scanning other number plates for drones? And then, it's crazy.
They've been speaking.
The future is now.
They've been speaking just on various news sites about the ideas of officers being able to have devices which are capable of
overriding your drone.
Overriding the drone and knocking it out of the sky.
Oh my goodness.
If you're doing illegal activities with it, if they catch you.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. This is crazy.
This drone is flying in airspace.
Obviously, you don't want drones flying, you know, airports or like military bases or.
And it's happened.
You don't want it flying over your house taking pictures either, do
no.
you?
No. I mean. And that's happened too.
Yeah, everything. Or crashing and injuring people, cutting your hand. Remember that drone image of the guy in the concert?
Oh, like Ricky Martin, was it,
yeah,
I think?
He, like, there's a drone camera on the drone. He, like, tries to grab the drone, like, slices his finger off or something.
Idiots. Honestly.
Oh,
everyone saw that and they're like, oh, his hand. And I'm like, you idiots.
I think we're okay for now, but, like, as drones become cheaper and more affordable and, you know, more the next gen drone comes out, the next gen, like the DJ Phantom drones.
And they
you
are.
Get the 4K one out now and the original model's, like, $200 on eBay.
I was looking in a catalogue just the other day at work. You know, we get the newspaper in every day and so some of the retailers put their catalogues in. There was, not Phantom, one of the other manufacturers, one that allows you to control them via apps on your phone. Mm. And they've got devices $100 or less.
Wow.
Even. And they go 100, 300, 500 sort of price range. So they're getting affordable to almost everyone,
crazy.
Even in basic form.
I don't know what you do about it. It's just maybe ban drones altogether and you need a special license just to have one, like, you know. Whenever you see a drone, if like a cop see a drone, he's like, how would you pinpoint it? I guess.
Like they did with the swag boards.
I guess if you knock it out of the sky and then just confiscate it.
Well, that's a plausible solution, but
you tap into the drone, you can see if it's registered, and if the person doesn't have a license, then you shut it down.
Hmm. Oh, there's many possibilities. It needs work though. It's going to need a lot of work.
It's going to take many years. But I don't know. Yeah, like you say, it's like every couple of months there's some new drone news.
Mm.
Interesting though to see where it will end up.
For sure.
I hope it doesn't get ruined before I own one. I want to have some fun.
I've thought about owning them because I've got a buddy on Facebook. I am friends in person as well, but he lives up in Newcastle. And he's got a group of mates and they all get together. Like there's abandoned factories and stuff around Newcastle. And they've actually got the little mini drones, quad drones or whatever they call them.
Ones we could fly around in the office.
And yeah. And they get these and they have races. They race each other.
Yeah, that's cool.
As a weekend,
you know, like,
joy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like the Red Bull air races.
Yeah.
Red Bull
like
drone
that.
Races. It's like instead of RC cars, just RC drones, which is way cool. That's really cool. Yeah.
And they have challenges and there's groups of people that they go.
How do you set up a course though? Round that tree.
Yeah, well, that sort of thing. That's actually how there's groups of people who have like competitions.
You set
and that's
up like
how
giant
they do it.
Poles or something and have gates that you have to fly through.
Flag the trees and what have you. Yeah. Or you could put little posts up with flags on them and stuff so that people can shoot around them and whatnot. It's out there.
It's out there.
I don't know
cool.
much
yeah.
about it, but it is out there.
You should get involved.
That'd be a bit of fun. Mm. It'd be a bit of fun.
I wonder if they're going to hold competitions and stuff.
Well, I think there is some that are being held around the place.
Drone racing.
But I just don't know enough about it because I don't own a device and I haven't got involved in it.
Not in the community.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
What do you got?
Drones.
What have you got?
Oh, I thought you had heaps of stuff.
Time.
It's a big, big, massive week. It's been 15 days.
Here's another one. Microsoft Store.
There's a Microsoft Store?
There is.
Wait, is there right now? Can I visit it?
They're overseas at the moment, but they're officially opening one in They're officially opening one in Sydney next week.
So there isn't one in Australia.
There isn't one in Australia currently, but they want to emanate the idea. They want to copy the idea of what Apple's doing with Apple stores and offer their exclusive Microsoft range of devices.
Isn't it going to be just more expensive than getting it online though?
It wouldn't be more expensive. They couldn't do that. They're going to sell them at the same price as they sell.
What if I went to like JB and they're having a 15% off Surface tablets?
Oh, well, of course you're going to go over there. But I mean,
So I can get my Windows phone, I can get my Surface Pros, I can get my Surface Books.
Your copy
I can
of Windows.
Get Windows 10 upgraded. Office. I can get Office. I can get what else?
Accessories for these
devices.
Your
quick covers. Everything.
Officially opening this coming week.
You got a new case on your Surface though?
I've had it for a little while now.
I haven't seen it.
It's an STM hard case. So
hard case for your Surface Pro 3.
So I don't drop it because I have dropped it once.
Does that add extra weight, bulk?
It adds a little bit extra weight, but I'm happy to know that that is completely
safe
covered
and
safe.
You could probably buy that at the Microsoft store.
I could. The first 250 people... Yes.
And it worked?
Well, not with this one.
Oh, you haven't dropped it since, have you?
Yes.
Do you want to test it now?
No. Right. No. No, thank you.
There's a window there.
There is. It's a very firm window.
We can't open it, though. We can go out on the balcony.
So the Microsoft Store is having some official activities with it as well.
Oh. When did you say it was opening?
This coming week.
This sometime. Like next this
next
week.
Week. Next yeah. week. Well, okay. Next week, our time at the moment. But anyone could be listening to
yes.
this. So the last week of October.
Yeah, okay.
Jessie J is also coming into the country, and they've tied her in with Microsoft for the official opening.
Does she even own a Windows phone? Does she even
I've got
know
no
what
idea.
A Windows phone is?
I've got no idea. 250 people who head along to the official opening will be lucky enough to get themselves a ticket to go and see Jessie J perform live later that evening as well.
Do you think we're going to see massive lines like we do in the Apple stores?
There'll be some lines because I've seen conversation online talking about the idea of being able to buy some of the new Surfaces online and then pick them up in the store.
So that'd be good. Can I get a Surface Book?
If you got enough money, I suppose you can.
I don't have that much money. I really like one, though.
They're nice. They're,
if I was Mark Zuckerberg, I'd get one.
I have seen positive reviews.
What about a Facebook notebook called Facebook?
We don't need Facebook getting into devices as
well.
Yeah,
it's like Surface Book. What if they call it Facebook?
Facebook.
It's genius.
I have actually, on the other note of the new Surface Book, I've actually seen some very positive reviews so far. One bloke was a Mac Air user, and he actually said he forgot his Mac Air one afternoon and left the office just with the Surface because the Surface was doing all the things that he did usually on that device, and it was as sort of stress-free and easy to use as the MacBook, and the battery life was getting better than some of the previous Surface models.
Apparently, wait, are we talking about the Surface Book or the Surface Pros?
The Surface Book.
Surface Book, yeah. They reckon it was, I think in the demo they said it was like 30% faster than MacBook Pro.
Yeah, they do make claims like this. it's behind. They're behind in the battery department, though. But I must say, I can get a week out of this Surface Pro 3. I'm not a heavy user.
Without a charge, a week.
Yeah, I don't.
That's pretty good.
I don't use
That's
it.
Really good.
I don't use it for hours every day, but I can be using it on and off for 45 minutes, an hour at a time, across a day, and I'm getting almost a week out of it, and not needing to charge it at all, which. You know, if you look at how the Surface Book is going to go, well, you know, this is an option, and they're selling very well. They're just about
selling out. Are they back in stock now? Because I know when they originally released the pre-order, we're sold out of the pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe they're probably restocked.
They're probably restocked,
which is incredible.
Right, it's mad.
I think all the high end spec ones got sold out first,
yeah.
And then. The crapper models or the less superior
it's
models.
It's a change of tune for Microsoft.
Got sold out later.
Change of tune for Microsoft, isn't it? They've spent a few years battling with the Surface Pro to get somewhere, and now they've got the market open to them.
Yeah, like I think we said this when we talked about the Microsoft event, but the Microsoft event podcast. And if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to it because it's still pretty fresh news and this stuff's still on pre-order. But yeah, now that the fact that they've finally got to a place where they can unify all their devices and tie them all into each other, it's a lot more appealing for people to jump on board. Because I think even a year ago, it was still too scary to get onto Windows Phone because no one supported it. There were hardly any apps.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a standalone device. Like, what's the appeal over Android or iPhone? But now, like, they're growing the features. They're integrating everything, like seamless workflows between all devices.
Unification between devices.
Yeah, exactly right. And like apps that'll work on your PC, will work on your phone, will work on your tablet. You can use your phone as like a whole desktop with the Microsoft dock.
And that was cool.
Yeah, very cool. So now I think people won't be as afraid, and I think they just will grow. And then we'll see Microsoft stores all over the country. You know, we'll see greater innovation. We'll see better phones. But I don't know. It's so hard to pull away from the beauty that is Android
and or
Samsung
iPhone,
but the new Nexus device is just released,
or the iPhone.
So much, it's like it's almost like I remember when new phones would come out, and it would be a really exciting time because it'd be something new and fresh you hadn't seen in the previous year. A lot of innovation, great leaps and bounds with software updates. You don't really see that once every year. You know, November would roll around and you'd get like maybe you'd get the new Samsung phones, you'd get the new Nexus releases. You might hear a little bit of something from LG and maybe an Apple event. And it was like all this in this month was happening. It's like, oh, the new phones in November. Now
there's so many
phones. The releases are so frequent, updates are so frequent, the innovations are less because, I mean, you're releasing a new phone every like 8 months or something like that now.
You're not even getting 12 months, yeah.
I know, like the Samsung, the S5 and the S6 and then the Note 4 to the Note 5, I think were inside a year released and they're looking the same, you know, the leaps and bounds like this. So it's like, it's getting less exciting when a new phone comes out.
It is. And the other reason why that's happened with Samsung as well is they're like,
we've got to get one up on Apple. And then they released,
like, you know, they were good up until the S6s because they had the S6s and then they were the screen size, basically the Note 4s.
Yeah.
And there was little difference between them aside from the S Pen. And now you've got the Note line, you've got the S6 line, the S6 Plus, Edge, whatever. And they're all kind of just like blurring into each other. Like, where's like the defining factors between all these phones? I feel like it's not as special anymore.
Yeah, they're killing it. And you know,
like I was really pumped for the Nexus 6. And I thought this was really cool. And then we had the Nexus 6P and the 6X. Or what is it, the 6X?
I don't know.
Not sure.
It's the 6P, maybe the X. Mm. And yeah, it's just like, well, it's not that appealing anymore. So are we spoilt for choice now? Like, is it? What's it going to take now for us to go, wow, this is an amazing phone?
They're really trying too hard with it. They're trying to be one ahead of each other all the time, and it's just killing off the desire to be involved with new devices now, because which new device is fresh? Which one is actually going to be the one that is significant for an upgrade on this phone?
Too much choice.
Because they're just turning them out too quick. Mm. It's spoiling it all.
What about some... I think that's pretty much wrapped us for the big news that we've got here. So I think maybe... I don't know about you, but I might have a couple of quick head lines.
I've got some quick head lines.
All right, I guess it's that time of the week. Play the theme song.
What do you mean, play the theme song? We don't have one.
Well,
we still don't have one.
Oh, goodness. Maybe in season 3 we'll have
one. You can produce your little intro again if you like.
I feel like it gets worse and worse each time I do it because I forget part. It was special at first. These are the technology headlines of the week. These are the tech headlines of the week. Geddes, give me some quick headlines. I swear I missed some words. Quick headlines.
Yes.
So they're kind of like, you know, little tidbits. They don't maybe warrant us an in-depth story, but they're like, you hear it and you think, oh, that's interesting.
Mm. So...
shall I kick it off then?
Yes, you shall. Go for it.
I saw this, which was kind of interesting. Mm. Instagram has released a new standalone app called Boomerang.
Why do I need Boomerang instead of Instagram?
Well, what Boomerang will allow you to do is... What do you think? Do you know or are you just guessing based on the name?
No, I'm just going to have a punt.
Right, let's hear you guess.
Like Snapchat.
No.
Okay.
No. So Boomerang is, it takes a series of... 5 photos in quick succession.
Yep.
And then loops them.
Oh.
Like a super quick, like I guess time lapse or like a little like kind of like a real like a GIF.
Yep.
And it will play it forwards and then it will play it backwards and then loop indefinitely until you close it.
Interesting.
So a quick 5-second burst of a quick one second video of 5 consecutive photos played forwards and then reversed and then looped. So you could say you had a phone and you had the camera back from the food, you move it forward, then out. Yep. And then you would just have like a 1 second video image thing that'll go. Yeah, that was my in and out sound effect.
You're entertaining.
unless you can come up with a better sound effect. So it's called Boomerang. You're searching for it.
Yes.
You've installed it already.
I'm just about installing it right now.
So there you go. That's basically it.
Forward, backwards.
And then you can post it to your Instagram. You can share it to Facebook or wherever
it's downloading right now. And
everywhere.
And while you're doing your quick heads.
You'll have to do one and put it on Twitter.
I'm aiming to get one done before we finish this episode.
You'll do that on
episode.
Twitter. Yeah. At TechRap Podcast to check out. The 1 second Boomerang.
When I get the Boomerang going.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to blow your mind. So I guess you could have a bit of fun of that, but is it a novelty that wore off? Yeah, time will tell.
Yeah, true.
I'll grab it as well.
So from a Back to the Future sort of
thing. Oh, yeah, it was Back to the Future Day.
We missed that, didn't we?
Yesterday?
Yes, yesterday,
October 21st, 2015. There was a spew of content all across the web.
Wednesday, was
we saw Michael J. Fox trying on some self-tying shoes. We saw a message from Doc in the DeLorean giving us a motivational speech. The future is, you know, make of it whatever you will, blah, blah, blah. The future isn't written. Amongst a heap of other, like, nostalgia and cool stuff.
Pepsi releasing their little...
The Pepsi can, yeah.
Their little bottle thing.
I was a huge fan of Back to the Future. Say, I guess still am. Like, great movies. Watch them if you haven't.
So for the Back to the Future thing, the Nike Mag shoes are an actual thing.
Yeah, self-tying shoes. And they want to sell them next year, I think.
Michael J. Fox did try one on. It's going to be a limited release during the spring of 2016 in the US.
Yeah.
They're going to do it as an auction process. So only so many shoes are going to be made. Only so many people are going to be able to get them.
Yeah.
And the proceeds are going to go to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research.
Cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, very nice. And I assume there's going to be a lot of sort of fans out there that have a bit of money that'll be able to
spend a bit
on these shoes. Yeah. I don't think that'd be practical for everyone to, you know, I can see everyone wearing these shoes, but that's really cool. Here's a super quick, this is the very definition of quick headlines for me. Google Maps has been updated.
It has.
And the only reason I mention it is because they added a cool little feature where you can track your destination. So you input your route, say from here to Sydney or something like that, right? And then that essentially that's what it would give you. Now it'll give you, you can search for places along your destination that might be relevant to you, whether that be food or petrol stations or anything along that route. So that's kind of cool. And also, I don't think this is implemented in Australia, but in the US, it'll pop up service stations and then display their gas price.
Oh,
so that's pretty cool. So you can get the cheapest petrol along your route. Because, even here in Australia, you could be traveling across the country and fuel prices can vary quite a lot.
Yep. Yeah, fuel prices.
So now you can pick out the best one, which is really cool. So you'll probably see that Google Maps update, which is really cool. Because, I don't know. I find that handy because sometimes you'd have to go out of your navigation to then search for food in your area. Now you can just search for it on your route, which is really cool.
It's definitely a good thing. Let's keep on the topic of Google.
I thought we got away from them earlier. Had enough.
Consultants of the Google driverless car projects have mentioned that a car could be ready in less than 3 years.
Yeah, believable. They got cars ready to go now, but I think it's just all the red tape.
But they have approached this topic in the same week that videos have been emerging from Tesla owners who have the updated software on their car, which does allow a driverless option, and it's not working out as it should.
What happened?
So there's been vehicles swerving and other sort of dodgy activity. But the underlying concern with the whole thing is, how the hell does a company like Tesla just release this option to the public and then the public can start using this feature even though driverless technologies are not currently approved in any country for any old average punter Joe driver?
Well, they always like to be sort of the head and lead the way, you know. Musk.
Mm.
Elon Musk. He loves to be a bit of a, you know, that type of guy.
that guy.
That would do that, you know. But I mean, yeah, I feel like if anyone was going to release a self-driving car first, or at least give the the software for it, it should be Google, because they've been working on it for forever.
There's no way he
could catch up on the amount of research and hours Google have put in their car, in his car, that quickly. So do it with Google.
He wants to be one step ahead.
This is a cool thing I saw. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember when I saw it, but it was a while ago, but it's called the Temperscope.
Temperscope?
The Temperscope Ambient Weather Display.
Oh.
It's coming to Indiegogo for funding. It's like one of those cool little crowdsourced ideas. And what it is an ambient weather display that shows you tomorrow's weather with physical examples.
Physical examples?
So if it's going to be cloudy with light showers, the device itself will generate clouds and precipitation within the box to show you that it's going to be cloudy. And I'll show you a picture here. So it's a box with a bit of cloudiness in it. So it's lightly overcast. So I'm not too sure how much they're going to charge for this. But my thing is, if it's a clear sunny day, It's just going to be a clear box. They might have like a light down
there.
LED will shine down. Like a glowing yellow light or something that shines bright if it's going to be a clear day. But
wow.
$200 a pop they're asking for.
I really want to invest in $200 to put it in my lounge room so that I can walk out every morning and go, oh, look, it's going to be cloudy.
Yeah, you could spend...
I've got this fake cloud mass.
It's such a novelty. Yeah, and like whether it will work forever, like what does it link to? You know, a battery's required. I guess you got to plug it into your wall, but it's a cool... It's definitely a talking point if you had that on your coffee table and it's like all precipitating and stuff. And then I wonder if it could rain. That might be a bit of a... it might participate down the side of the glass, which would be cool. You know, like look at it and it's raining outside. But hey, here's a real-life weather box. Look out the freaking window.
Yeah.
Save yourself the $200 and just look out the window. Don't look into your box and your coffee table.
Yeah.
Such a gimmick.
No.
I spent 99 cents on a weather app. That'll do just the job fine.
Which weather app did you buy? The best one here in Australia called AU...
Pocket Weather.
AU.
Mine's just called Pocket Weather on Android.
Well, there you go.
I think it's like a universal one.
Hey, that's it.
Weather Zone's really good too, if you're into weather apps.
Yeah, I don't
we
know.
We should... Yeah, never mind.
A lot of tech.
Yeah.
Probably... I could sit here and talk more tech.
I feel like we had more, but then we'd just be going longer.
We'd be going for hours.
So we've trimmed the fat, and we've only brought you the essential stuff.
The interesting bits you want to know from technology this week, and that is TechWrap.
It's very subjective.
TechWrap.net.
Some people might listen to us and think, what a useless bunch of information.
Why are you telling me this crap? Why do I want to listen to this podcast?
But if they've made it to this point, they've done well, and they must have liked something, so.
That's for sure. Hey,
thanks for listening.
You can get us online at techwrap.net. You can also search for the podcast on all sorts of various podcasting systems. We're on player.fm.
Everywhere.
We are on the Omni system, which a few more people are using these days.
It's
you can find us on iTunes primarily as well, so you can subscribe
to us
through iTunes and you're all good. And find us on Twitter as well,
yes.
TechWrap Podcast.
You'll see that 1 second video.
Well, I'll see if I can get it onto there. I mean, I'm still trying to work out how to use it right now.
Got it 10 seconds ago.
I did actually get one on there, just fiddling around with the radio desk here.
Oh, that's cool.
And the fader goes up and down.
Yeah, that's really cool. Is that on Twitter now?
No.
It will be, though.
I'll get something on Twitter.
Check it out. That's really cool.
Boomerang by Instagram, if you want to have a look at it.
We could do some cool stuff with Boomerang like that. We'll have a play with it.
We'll work something out.
Us creative guys.
That is TechWrap for this episode. Thank you for listening.
See you next time.